Okay, good evening, everyone. It is September 18th, 2012. This is the regular semi-month. Oh, no, you know what? This is actually not the regular semi-monthly meeting of the National Finance Committee. This is a special meeting of the National Finance Committee on September 18th, 2012. It's 5:37 p.m. Pacific, 8:37 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee. We will start by having our secretary, R. Paul Martin from WBAI, call the roll.
Okay, Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jim Boyd. He said something. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Marcus Jeter.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
He's in Greece.
Barbara Wipperman. LeVarne Williams.
Okay.
We have seven. That is a quorum.
Okay, terrific. So just as a sort of a chair's report, the agenda that was sent out, which was sent out on the 16th at 1:24 in the afternoon, is going to have to be changed. There are a couple of items on it that just aren't going to happen. And I'm going to make a recommendation that we might want to have a fairly short meeting tonight, because I think it's a certain amount of meeting fatigue kicking in. And this is a special meeting, not a regularly scheduled one. So it seems to me that we should do what we have to do, but not feel obligated to run for the whole 3 hours if there's no good reason to. And that's partially my own fatigue, but I figure that some of you are feeling it too, because we had quite a few meetings over the past couple of weeks. Let me read out the draft agenda for the stream, and then I'll mention the items that I don't think will be able to stay on it.
LeVarne.
Hi, LeVarne.
Hi.
The draft that we were working with was number one, roll call, number two, approve agenda, number three, approve pending minutes, number four, PNB status report on budget approval by the chair, which is just how things are going through. Five, confirm provisional approval of WPFW budget. Six, confirm final numbers on KPFK budget. Seven, archives budget review. And eight, event planning form and motion. I'm going to make the suggestion that I don't believe the archives budget review is really ready for us, and that item get kicked over to the 25th. And I'm also going to suggest that given the amount of stuff backlogged on the national level, and I'll talk about that a bit, that the event planning form and motion, even though it's important and pending, probably will have to get kicked over to a later meeting.
Wait, point of information?
Mm-hmm.
The what? It's going to get kicked over?
The event planning motion form thing that we were working on, like the transparency guidelines. These are pending things that we basically had to put aside for the budgets that we do have to pick back up. But I don't think we can do it right now. It's going to have to wait.
All right.
So the modified agenda that I'm suggesting goes, number one, roll call, two, approve agenda, three, approve pending minutes, four, PNB status report on budget approval, five, confirm provisional approval of WPFW budget, and all of those should be pretty fast, and number six, if we can, confirm the final numbers on the KPFK budget. So is there a motion to approve that, or does anyone else want to modify it further?
I just want to ask if we might need another meeting, if we're going to be able to get everything done on the 25th that we can't get on tonight. I'd really personally like to be done by the 25th, by that week, not let us run late just because other people were.
Well, then the question is, I don't know how far we're going to get on KPFK. We may get all the way through. It's possible. WPFW should be done.
Right. Well, I'll talk about the other two also.
Yeah, so what's left with us is archives and national. Consolidated is kind of pro forma once we've done all the divisions.
Right.
LeVarne, what's the timeline on archives and national? You had told us that national would have to be on the 25th. What about archives?
Yeah, we are actually we encountered some issues over the last few days. So we're just putting those to rest tonight. In fact, I'm still doing some work on that now as we talk, so I might be away for a second or two. But I'm pretty, like I said, if we can get the time and there's no major issues coming up, we should be able to knock out the National and have something by the end of this week. And the archives, the only thing we need to do on that is that, Brian, we just need to confirm the central services. And Brian and I talked about the premiums. We're going to show that as a risk to his budget. And that's basically it. And there were some things that Brian had added back into his budget. I think you guys saw a list of that. We can talk about that in closed session. So so I think that once we get that conversation, which should be this week also, then we should be fine for then also. And if there are any issues, has everyone looked at his budget?
I'm sorry, what?
Has everyone looked at Brian's budget? Has everyone?
No, we haven't seen a draft. So if there's a draft or a preliminary copy that you could send, that would be great.
I'll go in and send it now.
Awesome.
Okay, good. Okay, let me
see. Okay.
One little thing on my issue that I've been working on all week, and then I'll send the draft.
Sure. Okay, well then, Kim, it sounds to me like the answer to the question is we're not really going to be able to do Archives and National until next week. So if we could knock off KPFK this meeting, which remains to be seen, then I think we're in fairly good shape to finish on the 25th. If we can't, then we may need to look at another meeting to finish up KPFK. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other modifications on the agenda, questions? Move to approve?
Move to approve.
Okay. Any objections? Okay. It's approved. That will bring us to our pending minutes. I know that we have some, but I've lost track of exactly which ones. I'm hoping that our Paul has not. Our Paul?
I'm writing down the approved. I'm putting, hold on 1 second.
This is Barbara. I just joined the call.
Hi, Barbara. Welcome.
Okay. I don't have the new minutes here. I'm not in good shape. They're partly done, and I'm grinding through them. However, we do have minutes. I think we have minutes from, is it Jim? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have minutes from Jim here. It's for the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So
that's what we have in minutes from the 11th. We'll have to wait.
Well, they're coming. They're getting grinding through things in serial.
Okay. So Jim sent those out. Has everybody had a chance to look at them?
No.
Bill.
Okay.
There were some blanks in them.
Yeah, I think that there might have been because I know Jim kind of did them and then stopped doing them halfway through. And well, if people are okay with it, I'm okay with postponing all of the minutes to the next meeting.
So moved.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're not in too bad shape. We're only a week behind, and given all the meetings we've been having, that's not too bad. Okay. Any objections to the postponement of the minutes to the next meeting, whenever that is? Okay.
Without objection.
Perfect. Okay. So that brings us to a brief PNB status on budget approval. So I guess the important thing to say is that the PNB is meeting 4 or 5 Thursdays in a row, as far as I can see. I'm going to check that on KPFTX, but I know that we are meeting this Thursday, the 20th, and next Thursday, the 27th, and then I believe we are meeting the first 2 weeks in October as well. I will go ahead and confirm that schedule for the stream. And what that means is we will have lots of time to approve the budgets. Okay, well, I can't do that right now because I'm having trouble with KPFTX. But, Bill, do you recall we're meeting the first Thursday in October and the second Thursday in October, right?
Well, we have those scheduled, although that's sort of only as needed for the budget. You know, if mm-hmm. it depends on how bogged down the PNB gets in discussion about these things, so it's hard to guarantee. If it's ideally, they would understand we've already spent hours going over all these budgets and would ask questions in advance, but so it should be quick. That doesn't always happen, though, so I don't know what will happen when we get to the PNB meeting. But they are. Well, we do have meetings scheduled, three this month, starting last Thursday, and the first two Thursdays of October.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And
so,
hopefully we'll finish them before then, but...
Yeah, so given that, we have lots of opportunities to go through the budgets. The current status is that none of them have been approved as of yet. KPFT is on the agenda for the upcoming meeting, as is WBAI. Those are the two first budgets that we have approved. After that, we will move on to KPFA, and then presumably WPFW will be next, and KPFK after that, followed by Archives, National, and Consolidated. My expectation is that it will be October 4th or 11th before we are through the entire cycle, and we'll just update this each week. But my hope is that at least KPFT will get through on Thursday, and hopefully WBAI as well. We'll see how it goes. Any questions about that or comments? Okay. So that takes us to the WPFW budget. Let me send out a copy to remind people of the motion that we passed. We did provisionally approve this budget. We asked for a couple of things specifically. One of them was for the SUI numbers to be filled out. Another was for the depreciation totals to be filled out. The third was to account for the CPV penalty. Was there a fourth item?
Not that I recall.
Remember? Okay, I may have to go check. The good news...
I'll look at my notes.
Yeah, let's get the notes out and double check so we can make sure that those items have, in fact, been completed. But the good news is that this budget was actually also passed by the WPFW LSB retroactively on September 12th. But it seems that we are all in agreement on this budget, which is lovely. So I'm going to go ahead and send it out. And unless anyone has any concerns as we check it against the motion that we passed, I think we'll just go through a basic approval vote, and that will be that.
The motion is the information would be the SUI, depreciation, and CPB. Penalty.
Right, three things. Okay, good. So we had it.
This is Ken to the stack. Before we do that, I just wanted to make a mm-hmm. comment about what you said previously. I fell
sure.
off the line. I'm sorry. I think if there's any possible vehicle in Robert's rules, we should try to get approval of the budgets at the PNB prior to the meeting. Like the budgets are distributed. And if people want to submit questions, they should do it prior to the PNB meeting, and then they're just brought up and approved by vote. In other words, it's silly to leave consideration of a budget to debate in an in-person meeting. They should be considered.
Well, I have comments about that, but we can sort of take that under advisement. I mean, the first thing to say is that, you know, the PNB makes up its own rules and the Finance Committee doesn't. Dictate to the PNB what they do.
Right, but we can make a recommendation because to handle five or six budgets, it just eats up way too much time to even go through presenting them. You know, it'd be adequate enough to just bring up a motion to get the budgets approved as distributed and just make it known, or let's say a recommendation that the members review the budgets prior to the meeting. So that time isn't taken up, and then nobody gets upset when somebody comes up and calls a question. You know.
Well, okay. Does anyone else want to address Ken's comment while I'm sending out
yeah,
this
our
budget?
Paul,
I do, but
our Paul,
okay. All right, R. Paul, followed by Bill.
All right, let me just say, you can have a consent calendar, which is usually, though, stuff that's going to be totally uncontroversial and or something that's been hashed through so much that you know it's going to pass. And you just basically say, here's what's going on a consent calendar, and you have the list of motions, and at the meeting you do it. It just goes right through. Except that anybody can always take something off the consent calendar, and I think at the PNB they probably would do that. So the answer is, it can be done. It probably will not be done, is my feeling.
Okay. Bill was next on the stack.
Well, that doesn't hurt to ask, and I like Ken's idea. I think we should expose, like, please review these before the meeting, ask questions so we don't have to waste a lot of time during the PNB meeting. Some people will probably not look at them until the meeting starts, but we shouldn't just allow an unlimited amount of time of discussion for people that don't bother looking at them and asking questions in advance.
Okay. Anybody else for the stack?
Ken, after you, because you weren't on the stack. I really appreciate it. I got an idea after what Ron Paul said. But I mean, excuse me. I didn't mean to say that.
So we can
All right. I mean, what I would say is, I mean, the PNB has to establish their own process, and they're not necessarily going to take a recommendation from the NFC regarding that. Both budgets, KPFT and WBAI, have been sent the extensive Excel files to the board way in advance of the meeting. I received not one question in response. We do send these budgets out in the hope that some preliminary conversation can happen, but it almost never does. My feeling is that would not go over well, and that the board reserves their right to discuss the budgets on the stream, and that, you know, we can make a suggestion, but I don't think it's necessarily going to fly. I've never seen the budgets handled any other way. This is my third year on the NFC, and it seems to me that it's unlikely to, in other words, Ken's suggestion may be practical, but I think it's unlikely to fly. So as painful as it is to discuss these budgets once and then discuss them over again for those of us on the national board, I think we may just need to kind of suck it up and understand that we're going to have to do that.
Okay, make a final comment? I didn't prepare this, and maybe I'll prepare it for the next meeting. I'll put together a motion saying that the budgets we send out an email to all the PNB members saying that all the budgets, completed budgets submitted to the PNB, will be added to a consent calendar so that we can facilitate more efficient in-person meeting, and we will try to get these budgets approved by consent. So please ask any questions now, if you can, of court, and we'll say it's not a motion, it's kind of like an invitation. And, of course, any member can choose to pull a budget out of the consent calendar and get it reviewed in the meeting. But maybe it'll accommodate getting three or four done. I'm sure nobody's going to object to the WPFW thing, so why should we spend even a half an hour reviewing it? I'm not sure, but it's most likely. So I'm just making that comment, and I don't have a motion prepared, but I will for the next meeting. I'm just trying to make it more efficient, that's all.
This is Kim to the stack.
Kim, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to say something, and it probably shouldn't be on the stream, but nevertheless,
but it is.
Yeah. I do think the members would like to at least act like they have they're acting with their fiduciary duty, I wouldn't think that a budget is a good thing to put on a consent calendar, or even suggest it. I think, whether it's serious or not, they should be made to look at these budgets, quite frankly. So there you go. But whatever. I'm not on the PNB, so I don't really, you know, it's really not a discussion for even this committee, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
that's,
you know, we can look at it again when we finish the budgets, which we have not.
Well, there's no motion on the floor. It's just a conversational item, and it was basically killing time in between item 4 and item 5 on the agenda because we were trying to open up the VFW budget.
Oh, okay.
I sent it out to everyone. This is exactly the same budget that we looked at on the 11th of September, so all that we are doing, and we've already provisionally approved it, because we're checking for three items. The first is the addition of the SUI numbers under personnel, and they are there.
Yeah, but did they go up or down?
Well, they were blank before. Now they're in there.
Okay, so it went up. Yeah.
Oh, yep.
This is Summer. I just wanted to know I'm on the call. Sorry, I was late.
No problem. Hi, Summer.
I'm just resolving a definition.
Okay, so the second item that we're looking at is whether the depreciation was updated. And that would be under administrative, and it looks like it was. And the third item that we were looking at was some accommodation for the CPV penalty or an explanation from the CFO that we are not doing that for some reason. It looks like an adjustment has been made to the CPV totals to me. They've been lowered slightly to accommodate the penalty. So it looks to me like we're 3 for 3. So unless someone sees something that I don't, I'm inclined to put forward a motion that the provisional approval is now changed to, what shall we say, not provisional, to formal approval.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any objections, any questions? Was that too quick?
Was Bill? Yeah.
Yes, Bill.
Obviously, I haven't had time to look at the numbers. Are they all the other numbers okay in here? I assume they're the same as what we looked at last time.
The numbers look absolutely identical to me in every way, except for the additions of the items that we asked to be added. That has reduced the size of the surplus from the 15,000 that we were looking at to 7,500, but we knew that. And we provisionally approved the budget on that basis. We knew that we would be looking at a smaller surplus.
Okay. Now, is LaVarne, are the CPB figures, they look right?
I don't have it in front of me, but I sent those to Tracy and to all of you guys. So I don't have it in front of me because actually I was doing something else. But I'll take a quick look.
I have the total right here.
In fact, I'm looking at a template that I actually have up, I think, is not the latest one. So if you could just send that to me, if you sent it out today, I'll just look.
I have something LaVarne sent to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, the forecast for 2012 is 152 on CSG and 54,000 on NPAG. The audited figures from 2011 are 140 on CSG and 54 for NPAG. And the numbers that we're looking at in the 2013 budget are 142 on CSG and 49 on NPAG, which looks to me like a $3,000 adjustment was taken out. So I see no reason that those figures are in any way inflated or don't account for the potential of paying the penalty. And as we discussed, it may get paid or it may not get paid. We don't know yet. And it looks to me like the listener support figure is identical and we have the same 1.79 million figure that we were working with for revenue and 1.49 for services before shared services. Any other questions before we move to approve? Okay. Any concerns?
It's Ken to the stack. Just
okay,
to,
go ahead, Ken.
Just a review, could we just restate the fund drive days?
I don't
in
think
this
we
budget?
Have them.
No, we can't. We don't have them. And what I will say to LaVarne is we're content with the numbers here, and we understand what the GM at WPFW is going through with the move. But, of course, we don't have a full Excel budget template here. And we've gone ahead and approved. But if there is a possibility of filling out some of the backup documentation prior to the presentation to the PNB, I think that would help.
Sure. I'll check in on that, okay?
Yeah. And, again, I don't see that there's any scenario that that presentation would happen for at least a week and a half, maybe longer. So hopefully there's some time to get that done. It would be nice.
And that's on the number of drive days.
Yeah, basically the whole. There's a whole Excel template form that contains some assumptions and other backup.
Okay.
And we haven't had any of that. And we're making an exception for PFW, but it would be nice if at least some of that material could be provided with the budget.
Sure.
Cool. Okay. Are there any objections to formal approval?
So is that an action item Campbell's taking on?
I've jotted it down, and I've put my stars beside it.
Okay.
Robert West should know what we're talking about, and if it's within his capability, with some help from the national office, it would certainly be nice.
I don't think it should be a problem.
Okay. All right. I didn't hear any objections. Going once, going twice. Okay, so approved.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to our last agenda item of the night, which is KPFK. What I will have to say is that while I hoped to get a little further with tightening up some of the work that we did on KPFK last week, I have not been able to. Therefore, what I'm going to have to send people is simply the last version of the spreadsheet. It does have the correct numbers in it, but it does not have a lot of the corresponding backup corrected. So just a sec, and I will look for it.
Kim to the stack, you have the numbers that we agreed on last week, right?
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
I do.
Well, that's good.
I'm just saying I haven't broken it out across all the columns and done all that stuff.
No, but that's enough for me to be able to kind of look at.
Okay, it's coming. Just a sec.
Could I make a comment?
Yeah.
I hope everybody saw the email I'd sent Bernard, and then he sent a note back. And I sent a reply back, which I copied to the NFC, I believe that was yesterday. So, still real concerned about the listener support. I think his numbers are still too high. That was the major thing.
Yep.
And the other questions were related to cash flow. Still don't quite know when the transmitter is going to be purchased and why it wasn't already purchased. It's kind of scary, actually.
Don't
really know about that.
LaVarne.
Campbell.
Tracy?
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
LaVarne and Campbell are on the stack.
Oh, I'm sorry. I spaced out. Okay. LaVarne, go ahead.
LaVarne, yeah. Concerning purchasing a transmitter, why we haven't purchased it yet is that this is the last month of the fiscal year, and until we finalize the purchase order, that's why we haven't purchased it yet.
Excuse me, point of information, LaVarne, can you speak up a little?
Oh, sorry. You know, this phone is, like, really crazy. I'm not sure if I'm – can you hear me okay?
Yeah, okay.
You sure? Anyway, the reason we haven't purchased it is that it hasn't been finalized in terms of what we need to purchase order. And also, this is the last month of the fiscal year, so we have some issues in terms of what our bottom line will be, so it is not prudent to purchase it at this time. And whether we purchase it or not, you know, we if you worked in a manufacturing environment, you know that any time you sign a purchase order, you have to accrue that on your books, whether you have the product, whether you have it or not. So we're not ready to do that this year.
You mean this fiscal year being September is what you're referring to by this year?
Oh, yeah.
I think we're talking about working capital impact.
We're talking about cash and working capital, yes. Well, bottom line, working capital, yes. Yes, Campbell.
Kim, but we are 2 weeks from the end of the fiscal year, which is not a long time. So what are the concrete purchase plans?
On the transmitter? I can't. I haven't chatted with them lately on the concrete purchase plans for the transmitter.
Well, I think because the NFC is dealing not with the budget for the next 10 days, but with the budget for 2013, that we need to know that, and that needs to be stamped down. If it's October 1st, October 15th, October 31st, whatever. But I think
Let me just ask Kim. Kim, do you have anything in there? I mean, I'm working on two things while I talk with you guys. But Kim, what is the latest that you hear or Ken?
Well, I'll speak for myself. I'm the general manager says one thing like, oh, we're going to have cash and we're going to be in the black, and yeah, we can. He said on the call when he was on here, yes, he could order it October 1. And Bill's done a little more investigation into the cash flow, and we're not seeing that. So I don't feel like I'm getting a straight answer of really what we have and what we're going to have at the end of October, at the end of September. Yeah, and we need really, like, hard information because I think the NFC thinks that it should be a priority. And so we need a real clear idea of what's going on because, like I said, we're hearing a couple of different things.
Okay. Well, just in summary, if they close out the year with a positive cash flow and with an income, not a loss, and they can go ahead with the purchase. But unless that is happening, then we have to look at other arrangements in terms of how do we finance the purchase. So that's where we are with that. So yeah. The basic decision in terms of needing the second transmitter, that's been decided through all of, the discussions earlier. So that's where we are. I mean, it depends on whether he can produce positive income or income versus a loss at the end of this fiscal year. It depends on whether he can order his transmitter. Otherwise, we have to look at another means to finance the purchase.
Kim, to the stack.
Yeah, Tracy for the stack, too. Anybody else want to be on the stack?
Campbell, did you want to speak, Campbell? We've kind of...
Yes, I was just...
And Bill again.
Wanted to ask Bill, when Bernard had responded to the email you sent. Your voice
his name is Bernard.
It was yesterday.
Excuse me.
And then I replied back.
Excuse me, somebody...
Okay. That's all I need. That's all I wanted to know is really that point of information.
Information. I'm sorry, I was talking over what you were saying, but what did you say? I'm sorry.
It's Bill. Okay, LaVarne. Campbell and Bill were confirming some information. Let's go ahead with the staff.
Yesterday afternoon was the answer.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, who's on the stack? I heard Kim and myself. Is there anybody else?
I'm Summers, the stack, please.
Okay. Let's let Summer go first because she hasn't spoken yet. Then we'll go to Kim, then we'll go to me.
In terms of where management's at, and I'm sorry, Bill, what was the response that you got back from Bernard in terms of the transfer?
In terms of which, the cash flow?
Okay, you weren't asking about the transmitter. Okay, no proposed contracts have come across my desk. So, I'm happy to inquire as to where we're at on this. But, what kind of response did you get on cash flow?
Well, it was about transmitter because it's basically, when are we going to get the central services that are late and when are you going to be able to order the transmitter? That's why I was worried about the cash flow. And so he didn't say when he was going to order the transmitter. I'll just put it that way. But he says they'll be paying back they've already paid back $100,000 of the shared services, the central services to the national office. And it sounds like he wants to apply the next, meaning I guess November, the fall CPP grant funds towards the unpaid FY12 central services, and then they will still owe, he says, around $70,000 to $80,000, and he needs to get an exact amount from LaVorne, I guess, or from the national office.
Plus the receipts from the fall fund drive, they will owe that as well.
Right, but the starting cash on the spreadsheet, the last version he supplied to the KPFK LSB, had a starting cash of $150,000 for the month as October 1st, and he confirmed that that would be after that $100,000 payment is made. He didn't say whether it's after the additional $80,000 is made, and then. They expect to have a lot of additional cash at the end of the month because of fund drive in October. So if you look at the cash flow forecast, it looks like there's enough money to buy it in October. But I don't know if the numbers there are correct.
Okay. So I'll take whatever guidance comes from the National Finance Committee, but I haven't seen any, proposal or lease or purchase contract. I mean, nothing's come towards me on anything to do with the transmitter. I'm happy to inquire of Bernard if where we're at with that, and see if he's even begun to put that into the works. And I'll go ahead and I'll listen to the rest of the call right now. So, right now, it's something we're trying to confirm where the cash position is really going to be at the beginning of the fiscal year. So,
well, the cash flow forecast for in the FY 2013 budget that Kim sent to me after your LSB meeting was. It showed at the end of October that you'd have $538,000. But I think that's optimistic. I think
that's because of the fund drive.
Optimistic. It would be after at least part of that fund drive income's collected.
A good portion of it. That is our fall fund. So, it's really if it's realistic or not. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, Kim, you're next on the stack, and then me.
Okay, we are showing a $170,000 deficit for this year on the profit and loss. So I don't really get how we're going to have anything more than enough cash to get us to the October fund drive. I mean, I don't understand how the general manager can say, we're going to have cash at the end of the year. I'm going to pay off all my, we're not going to owe anything. I'm just not seeing that. I know he said that a couple of times. I'm not seeing it, and I don't understand how that tracks with also $170,000 deficit for this year. So I don't, we're kind of, we don't have any hard numbers, and I don't know when we will or how we can get them, but that's what we need, because I don't really see why, if it's all so good, the last central services for this year is waiting until October or November, when we're going to have, October and November to pay then, and why, there just seems no enthusiasm other than on this committee to really push for this transmitter. And I think that, you know, obviously my opinion is there's nothing more important than getting a transmitter so listeners can hear us. We may have to revise something because I just don't see us coming into a big deficit at the end of this year. I mean, a big any kind of surplus that's going to get us a transmitter. And theoretically, we might have like $15,000 from the solar account if that's been moved or changed the name into this, you know, separated funds for the transmitter. And then there's a promise of, you know, somebody will give $10,000. And that's all we really have going forward for this. Okay, that's it.
Barbara with a question.
And Ken to the stack after that.
Okay, I had myself on the stack, but I'll stand back. So Barbara has a question and followed by Ken.
I remember at one point some talk about your solar account being logical to help with your air conditioning problem.
Well, that's been paid for already this year.
Oh.
Oh, you mean the solar air conditioning? That never worked out.
Mm. No, I just thought the money use.
No, when I said, you know, we have, I need to find out more exact numbers, but I'm going to say on the low side, 15,000, maybe it's 18. I don't know. Somewhere we have $15,000 to $18,000, which is what I was saying, move from the solar account into this transmitter account. And no, we've already paid a large chunk of change this year for
air conditioning.
Yes.
Okay.
So thank you, Barbara, for remembering that, but that's what I was referring to.
I used to live down there.
Did you listen to KPFK when you were here?
I did when I visited, yes, when I came back.
Okay, Ken is next.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to point out to the committee here, there's two major reasons to get the Nortel transmitter. It'll increase our transmission somewhere between an extra 50 to 100%. So that will therefore logically give us a broader audience and a higher listener sponsorship. That's number one. Number two, we are required to recover our transmission by the FCC, and we have a dispensation, an allowance that, you know, they're giving us some time to deal with it. But we're normally supposed to be, whatever the technical terms are, we're supposed to be transmitting at 110 watts, and we're not. We're at half that. So we're going to have to get it done. At some point, the FCC is going to say, you know, time's up. Where's the transmitter? Or where's your recovery? What did you do to fix it? So putting it off for other considerations is not advisable. It will increase our income most assuredly and probably pay for itself within a year at least. At most, excuse me. That's an estimate. And it's also required by the FCC that we recover that power. That's all.
Great. This is Summer to the stack again.
Okay, Summer, go ahead.
And has just reminded me of a...
Wait. We can't hear you, Summer. Just move. You're a little... Hello?
Is that any better?
Yes, there it is.
Okay, barely. All right, Ken brings up a very valid issue. When I looked at our public file, there is an extension each time for operating at less than full power, and I can't say that I have at the tip of my mind, nor do I have a handy resource at the National Office to know what that deadline is. So I need to find that out from Bernard, because Ken's quite right. We've gotten, as far as I know, you know, multiple year waivers on this operating at a lower than our normal power issue. So that's something that also I think increases the pressure legitimately to get this transmitter situation in hand as quickly as possible. So, external pressure as well. And I think you're right, and it'll pay for itself in terms of the saturation with listeners very quickly. So, I, you know, whatever the Finance Committee wants to come up with in terms of push on this, go ahead. But I'll follow up on the, you know, what are our deadlines for getting us back up to full power as well and full transmission, and whether or not he's already started the process on ordering this. So,
okay. Well, this is Tracy. I was on the stack, so I guess at this point, since no one else jumped in, I'll continue on the stack. I don't know in terms of what the concrete thing that the Finance Committee would do to place pressure. I agree strongly with what Summer said. This is an FCC, you know, competent operation of the network issue. It's not optional. I'm a little bit concerned with the short-term thinking. I understand that we don't want to order it in the next 10 days for cash flow reasons. But that said, we need to be planning ahead a little further than 10 days. And there needs to be, in other words, whatever adjustments to KPFK's operating expenses need to be made to ensure that that transmitter purchase goes forward in the next 60 days need to be made. And I think we're experiencing a lack of clarity about what that might be. But I think it's the responsibility of this committee to make sure that the cash is there. That's what a budget is for. It's to plan how to meet your necessary expenses. And this is a necessary expense. It's not an optional expense. So it doesn't really matter how the fund drive goes, and it doesn't really matter how the cash flow goes. It matters that it get ordered within the next 60 days. And if there are accommodations that we have to make to ensure that happens, we should make them. It's a little bit unclear at this point. We know KPFK is coming out with a deficit in 2012. So the question becomes, you know, how much expense do they have in the first 60 days or so, or 90 days of this fiscal year in the first quarter? And will those expenses so overwhelm their anticipated income that they will not be able to order the transmitter? If that's the case, or if we think that's the case, then we really do have a responsibility here to make sure that that's not the case. If we think that it adds up on paper, then it's simply a management issue that the transmitter go ahead and get ordered and that the ball not get dropped. But I guess the issue that I have is, Glavard, we're 2 weeks from the end of the fiscal year. Can you give us a guesstimate on how bad KPFK's operating deficit is going to be? Are we still looking at $175,000 negative forecast, or is there reason to feel that that may have been a worse case and it might not be that bad?
We have Anthony put in a revised forecast. Let me pull it up. And, you know, Anthony's forecast, and I look at it to make sure it looks right. It's kind of agreed, basically, but our forecasts are the same. So let me just pull up Anthony's forecast for this fiscal year. He is out, and I'll pull it up so we can keep talking with you and answer.
Can you send it to us?
Absolutely. Please
can I make a comment while you're looking at that?
Oh. Pardon me?
I think what we're trying to ascertain is the bottom line.
We can continue while I pull up Anthony's latest forecast. So if you could do that, that would be great. So, but the discussion that you're having about, you know, as someone said, it's 2 weeks from the end of the fiscal year. So, in terms of when you actually order it, as Campbell says, we have to look at our, he concluded based on what I said, is that we have to look at our working capital at the end of the year. And if we have 2 weeks to go, then, you know, we have just 2 weeks to go, so there's no rush within those 2 weeks. And all of the information on in terms of the power and all of that information is available from, I guess, from the John L. Mella and from the engineer there. I can't, and from Burnett, actually.
The what?
Laverne, what I want to know is what is the estimated figure in Anthony's bottom line? It seems to me that if you looked at the report, you should be able to.
I've heard you say that, and I'm looking for it, so please, I understand the point. I'm pulling up his forecast now.
All right.
What's this? This is insane.
This is Kim to the stack.
Yes, Kim.
Yeah, and Bill.
I just want to point out that, well, two things. One, there's sort of a $20,000 error in the budget in that you have down the transmitter of $72,000. And it's actually $92,000 based on last year's figure.
Yeah, no, that was the allocation that Bernard made based on transferring the solar funds and that $10,000 donation. The solar funds are not per se in the budget, so we should account for them.
Okay.
I don't know if the rest of that is valid. But, yeah, the transmitter was put in at 74. We did add – right, the transmitter was put in at 74.
Okay.
The assumption was that the solar power was making up the difference. If that's not right, we should change it.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, geez, I forgot. Oh, I know. This budget is based on certain amount of cuts as of October 1. So, you know.
Well, technically, I think it's as of Jan 1.
As of what?
I think it's as of Jan 1 is the way that it was figured originally.
Oh, well, I don't know how you figured out when you put those numbers in there.
Yeah, I did figure them for Jan 1 because I figured it wasn't going to happen October 1. I mean, it takes some time.
Well, that's important to consider because that, I don't know.
All right. Do we have the approximate deficit figure?
You're speaking to me. Oh, actually, Anthony is showing a small income for 2012. And the reason is that they had a really, really successful, as we all know, drive in August. And in August, although we still have preliminary numbers, we still don't have, they're still not final, but Anthony's numbers, he believes, are close to the exact number. So a lot of that I believe, 600,000, or I can't recall the number in pledges that he had for August, the rest of that rolled into September. So actually, Anthony is showing like a small income of about 65,000. I'm forwarding this. I'm sending you a copy of his. It's the last column.
Laverne, do you believe that's accurate? I don't understand how you can be forecasting a surplus of $65,000 after Central Services and still be owing Central Services $233,000.
This is his P&L. This is his profit and loss, which would show that he has paid.
Yes.
This is not his cash.
Yes.
On his cash, he has the cash. Actually, it's not on this. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, on his cash, he's actually showing that he has he shows the accounts payable. He shows his fund balance is really high because it's based on the balance sheet, and that has to be adjusted. So he's showing that he has in his cash a small income of about $65,000. He shows his accounts payable. And then he shows a fund balance. But the fund balance, again, is not correct because it's taken off the balance sheet, and that's not correct. But, yeah.
How much are the accounts payable?
On his account?
Not including the $233,000 to Central Services. How much are the other accounts payable?
Oh, he shows payable of $522,000, which includes
$522,000 in accounts payable?
Well, what the payables are, it's not just strictly accounts payable. They're total payables. Accounts payable, which include to the national office, other stations, he shows at 347. Again, all of these balance sheet items, once we do an audit and we get an auditor in who can help us in terms of these past due intercompany transfers, this will be more realistic. But in terms of accounts payable to the national office and other stations, he has about 350.
And how much accounts payable does he have to other vendors that are not internal?
Oh, on this sheet, he doesn't have it separated. It's at other vendors and the national office. If I just look at his general ledger from the last major payables, his payables are always low. So to other vendors.
So, LaVarne, do I have this correct? He's $522,000 total. $347,000 of that is internal. So there's another $200,000 owed externally?
No. Those are vacation leave. Vacation. He has.
Okay. Well, how much is there in the accounts payable to other vendors?
That's what I'm telling you, Tracy. I do not have that number. He has a total here. He has it summarized, the total amount. I'm telling you what's on here. I'm going to send this to all of you so you won't ask these questions, which I continue to answer over, and I don't. It's what
you
have.
You're not answering them. You're not answering them.
I'm answering what I have. But I will send this to you, and I will stop arguing over this, and I'll send it to you now. I'll send it to everyone now.
Point of information. What document are you looking at, LaVarne? Are you looking at his August financials?
Yes.
Okay.
You have
I've already seen the August financials. That's
right.
Not a fourth quarter forecast.
Right.
Oh, it is. He has a forecast from 10/1/11 through 9/30/2012. That is a forecast for the full year.
But what is it based on?
It's based on what his results are and what he projects the month of September to be.
All right, I've seen that document, and it doesn't support and it doesn't support to me a $65,000 operating surplus.
Oh, you looked at his revenue, you looked at his expenses, and you said, and so you're saying the $65,000 that he shows as income doesn't support the numbers.
No, it didn't look right to me, honestly.
Go ahead and send it again.
Kim,
to the staff.
This is his forecast. The numbers add up correctly. But you know what? This is his forecast. So I will send this to everyone.
Bill for the stack.
Yes, Bill, go ahead.
Okay, just to go a little bit more organized with the cash flow, and I'm looking at I think this is the one you just sent back out again. I forgot. I looked at it earlier. Kim had sent it. It's dated September 10th. But on the cash flow tab, it shows a starting balance of $150,000, and it does show $74,000 capital expenditures for October, which was presumably the transmitter. That's also on the budget tab. So even after that, he expects to have over $500,000 in cash at the end of October. So that's assuming he'll be getting a lot, from this fall fund drive. But my guess is from this is he anticipates ordering in October after the money starts coming in from the fund drive. And if you can believe these numbers, he should be okay for then. But, if you look through the whole year, though, the ending cash at the end of each month, that's what you have to make sure you're not going to be going negative so you don't start bouncing checks and not being able to make payroll. It drops down to, towards the end of the year, for instance, it's $235,000, which is only about 2 or 3 weeks of expenses for KPFK. So with that budget, they're still not going to be able to rebuild any reserves at all. It's just really scary. And, the next time some major piece of hardware breaks or something happens, they won't have the money to pay for it.
LaVarne on the staff.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak? All right, LaVarne, go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, that's the concern, Bill, is that we are not building reserves with the forecast. However, with KPFK, if they are going to purchase a transmitter, then that's the use of their funds. That's how it's been used. So with KPFK, you know, in terms of ending the year, you know, we do want some reserves. We do want a positive cash balance. But if they're going to purchase a transmitter, that's $100,000 that they've used in cash for the year. So that you have to look at it from that side. But for the other stations, yeah, it's imperative that that we really, really begin, because that's the risk to the whole budget, is that the reserves are not in there in case there is a disaster or something. Mm-hmm.